I don't like to say that somebody has died because I think they just move on to another sphere. And I believe that. And I believe that your father's listening.
Well, Deanna, thank you so much for having me back on for the millionth time. And this time to talk about my father. It's the piece I wrote for him is on loveearth.net, and that's with one E, loveearth.net/thankyoudad. And my father was born Mark John Elsis, and he took Robert as his confirmation name. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, on January 13th, 1926. And he lived a wonderful life for the most part, 92 years and just over 10 months before he did die, or transitioned, a very nice way to put it. And you're correct in your assumption, from everything I know about reincarnation scientifically, that and hopefully he is listening, and hopefully I give him his just due. I got a lot of feedback from this piece, more feedback from this piece than I get from my in-depth pieces. You know, almost all my in-depth pieces, people just seem to really like this piece. I'm going to begin this with some very strange anomalies, coincidences, whatever you want to call them, that happened to me throughout my whole life. My little voice told me for decades that my father would die the same day as Robin Leach died. Robin Leach, as we all know, most people would know, was most known for his hosting of the television series Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous for like 12 years, from 84 to 95 or so. But before that, he was born in England and became a journalist very early on, and then moved to New York. And in late 66, early 67, he started the first international rock and roll magazine, which was called Go. This was before anybody else, including Jan Werner and Rolling Stone, who actually stole the idea off him, the Jewish Jan Werner and Rolling Stone. But my father worked for Robin. Robin moved to New York and started this Go magazine. My father was head of advertising and marketing. So I met Robin many times. And my father, while he was with Go, it was wonderful. He brought home like every album that was ever produced for years. I would get every 45 and every album from every group that ever, and he went out on tours with the people and met John Lennon and all this other stuff. But the interesting thing is that my little voice told me for decades that my father was going to die the same day as Robin Leach died. And this, it came out of the blue, like, I don't know, 40 years ago. And every time I would see Robin, especially when on TV in those 12 years or whatever, it just kept on saying, remember, Mark, your father's going to die the same day he dies. And Robin was much younger than my father. He was like 15 years younger. He started Go Magazine as like 25, 26-year-old man, Robin. So I wake up on August 24th, 2018, and I see the news that Robin Leach has transitioned. And I became alarmed. And as soon as that happened, I got a phone call and telling me that my father had an unbelievably catastrophic accident. He either tripped or was pushed through the front glass door of his apartment building where he lived in Sunnyside, Queens, New York, since 1966. And we don't know if still to this day if he just tripped or was pushed. His wife, they were married in 75, let him off right in front of the door and went to get something. And when she came back, what happened was he broke his neck and he became a quadriplegic, and he lived for till 12 weeks till November 16th 2018. But I begin this by saying this because it's just, so my father didn't die the same day as Robin Leach, but yet he did.
Yes.
And it's just beyond strange. These type of things, you know, people look at me and say, this is like impossible. I say, well, yeah, but, and the second strange, unbelievably strange thing that I'm going to say today is that Don Ahern, the father of my best friend for over 40 years, who I got really close with over the last year of Don's life, the last year or so, he died at noon on November 16th, 2018. My father died at 7:30.
Wow.
So the father of my best friend for over 40 years and my father died on the same day, which is one in 1.3 million chance. And and I didn't know, and I actually spoke to Don, and my last phone call with Don was for almost like 5 hour phone call on October 29th. And I didn't even know he was in the hospital until like a week before. And anyway, so it's.
But aren't you glad that you had an opportunity to talk to your friend for that length of time? And it seems coincidental, but you just have to ask yourself, really?
Yeah.
Is everything coincidental or?
No, this is my life has been full of these impossibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've gleaned from it is that I guess I'm in the right time and the right place and have the perception enough to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, these two are, you know, how could I not see it? How did my little voice tell me about Robin Leach and my father supposedly dying on the same day for, you know, four decades or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of out there, but and then it happening like the way I described is just impossibly strange. But yet there's something there, and it tells you, you know, my whole life has been like full of these miracle type of events, and so I don't. And I used to be scared of them when I was young. I could go over a litany of things that are just beyond incredibly impossible. And I was writing a book called Meetings and Stories, which I have 34 chapters already done of meeting all these famous people and all these unbelievable stories, not only with famous people, but just private stories about my life that are just like this. You know, and I'm going to jump around like I always do, and
it's all right.
It was my father took me over to my father and his wife took me over to Europe, or I went with them to Europe. I say took me over because my father's wife Lois worked for American Airlines, and I used to get unbelievably great non-rev tickets, and I used to go out to California round trip for whatever it was, $30 first class, and so I'd go out there for, you know, and then go all over the country and whatever. But so we went over to Europe mostly to see my sister and her husband and her new child, my nephew Jacques Julien, who lived in the Lake region in northern Italy, gorgeous around Riva de Garda, just gorgeous area. But we first landed in Germany, and we drove through Germany, and we were in Bavaria just a few days. This was in just a few days before Christmas, probably like December 21st or 22nd of 1987, and we're walking down this beautiful. It's called Saint Martin Street in Garmisch, and I never pronounce it right, the rest of it, but it's in Germany, and this is the town where the 1936 Winter Olympics were held. And it was just this picturesque, decorated, Christmas-decorated main street of this gorgeous town in Bavaria, Germany. And Lois went off shopping, and we said we're going to meet her in this hotel, and it was just me and my father walking, and he told me this unbelievable tragedy that happened to him that I never knew about. And at this time, I'm almost 30 years old. I'm within two weeks or so of being 30 years old, and I never knew this. And my family never told me this. Nobody told me this. And as far as I know, I was the first person that he told. And what it was is that, and I could see the hurt in his eyes still. He, when World War II broke out, he joined the Merchant Marines. And he was on one of those Liberty ships. And by the way, the Merchant Marines, I just looked up some things on it. And the Merchant Marines made the greatest sacrifice during World War II. They had the highest percentages of any service that died. 3.9%, or 1 in 26 mariners, perished during the war. That's a greater percentage than the Marines themselves. So my father was on one of these Liberty ships, these Merchant Marine Liberty ships, bringing over supplies to the troops in the Pacific. And his boat got torpedoed by the Japanese submarine and went down. And as he told me the story, he says, a few of us got out, and we were on a lifeboat.
Wow.
And they were at the end, and the Japanese used to hit the end of these convoys first, because it's the easiest to pick off, and you can't tell. And he was in they got sunk. He's in the lifeboat with like a dozen or so of other guys, he told me. And the submarine surfaced and machine gunned them.
Wow.
And everybody died except for him. So this, and when I heard this story, I was like, my God, can there be like anything more tragic? And then later on in life, I heard stories, especially from my older cousin Brian, who's like 81 years old now, and he was a young boy. He was like 13 years or 14 years younger than my father, but it was a very close family back then. And he told me stories later on about how he heard from his mother and the aunts around them and all the family about how my father was this unbelievably outgoing, gregarious, just wonderfully, highly, super intelligent man, that all of a sudden, when he came back, he was like this totally different person. And he started living life in a different way.
And I think that happened to a lot of people. I think it does happen to a lot of people who are exposed to something that they were never meant to do, is to kill each other. People are not designed to destroy each other. And when you destroy a part of the world, when you destroy a part, you take away from the whole. And I think you emulate that in your love verse. That's kind of your
yes. When we kill each other, we kill ourselves.
Yes, you cannot destroy a part of something without endangering and doing great damage, psychological and physical damage, to the people who are left. And I've heard of so many stories of people who have, and I don't want to say served in the military, who have functioned because they were programmed to do so, have functioned in the military to kill other people, and it has impacted their lives for the rest of their lives.
Yes, and my father is like the poster boy for that, and that he will pick it up on the other end.
All righty, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Starts with you and me. Starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All right. We are back. Our first guest today is Mark R. Elsas, and he is talking about his father and other interesting things that would make one ask questions, or maybe it would bring answers. A lot of interesting things that Mark has brought up. Anyway, his website is Love Earth, which is with just one E. LOVEARTH.net. And his father transitioned November 16th, 2018.
I'm going to tell you about the first time, another wonderful story that I alluded to in the piece, Thank You, Dad, but I didn't sort of script it out like this. The first time my father took me out to California was in late May through early June 1968. His secretary's boyfriend said he was going to buy the latest Learjet and asked for a demo flight. And while we were in San Francisco, we stayed at the Mark Hopkins Hotel, which was made famous the same year in the film Bullet. And here I am jumping around again, but it was it was unbelievable, the whole trip out to San Francisco, being a 10-year-old boy and staying at the, like, and by the way, Bobby Kennedy and his wife Ethel were, I never forget walking out of the Mark Hopkins and my father going, there's the junior senator from New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this is days before he was assassinated.
So the interconnections and the coincidences that you experienced really brought you to a point in your life where you developed more concern and more compassion and knowledge and curiosity about these people.
Yes.
Than you would have otherwise done. And that's very interesting. I grew up in Sacramento. I was born in Nevada. I grew up in Sacramento. And one of the few places that I went with my parents was San Francisco. And we always went to Ghirardelli Square. And Fishman's Wharf. Yes.
Oh, I fell in love with San Francisco as a 10-year-old boy. I mean, we went out to L.A. and then flew up to San Francisco, and I've been out there like more than a dozen times, and I've taken my father, and one of the times he took me out three different times. We went out together, and one of the times we went from San Francisco, actually all the way up, we went up to Mendocino and then drove down the whole coast down to L.A.
Beautiful drive.
Oh, it's the most beautiful drive in the world. And I've done that myself a few different times when I went out, just and stopped in Carmel. And we used to stop in Carmel and stay in a place called Tickled Pink, and right by the Highlands Inn, which was gorgeous. I mean, just it. But I wanted to say this story about, and not just Bobby Kennedy and Ethel. It was about later on in life, is that, it was like, I remember one time I was coming on, right before I was coming on your show, my little voice said, hey, look at when Sergeant York was released. And that was the first film I got, and I really like Gary Cooper. That was the first film I got really pissed off at, so much so that, I mean, it was just blatant propaganda. And it was making a mockery. The Jews were making a mockery of that film, of Thou Shalt Not Kill. And it's a true story, but they of course, exaggerated for their own benefit. And when I looked it up, I can't remember the exact day, but it was a September. I think it was 73 days before Pearl Harbor, if I remember. It was like September something. And they don't say this in Wikipedia, but IMDb, the database for movies, mm-hmm. does. And they released this 73 days before World War II, before we entered World War II, what forced the Japanese to attack us. But anyway, I'm going back to the Mark Hopkins, made famous by in the same year as Bullet. This also came to me. It only came to me a few years ago. And my little boy said, don't you know Bullet? Mark, it was the same year you were out in San Francisco for the first time, and Steve McQueen's character is Lieutenant Bullet. And it's not Bullet. It's spelled Bullet. And don't you remember Bullet, Mark, from your history? William C. Bullet?
Oh, right.
Right. The screenplay for Bullet was written by two Jews, huh? And
wow.
And Bullet died the year before, in 67. So what they were doing was honoring this warmonger by naming the film Bullet.
Holy cow.
And this came to me in a flash, like boom. And I started looking it up, and I was like, oh, my God. And then I started doing research. This is years ago, not too many years ago, but within the last 5 or 6 years. And William C. Bullitt was the first ambassador to the Soviet Union, to Uncle Joe's
place. Exactly,
voice.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a lot of other things. Huh?
Yeah, I wrote about him and
sure you did. Yep.
Okay, we'll be right back momentarily. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty. Welcome back. Our guest this first hour today is Mark R. Elsis, who is talking about his father and some of the coincidental things that occurred during his youth and some of his experiences with his father. And you may find his tribute to his father at loveearth, just one E, .net/thankyoudad. And of course, that's posted in the chat room and on the schedule page. So
as a kicker, to end that story about being in San Francisco and going out in the Learjet that was from my father's secretary at Go Magazine, long story short is the boyfriend turned out to be a Jewish con artist, and that wasn't even a pilot. So he conned Learjet Corporation into loaning him a plane with two pilots, and just conned them all.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, my, that's what I said when I found this out like a year later, because anyway, so I'm going to jump to when my father and my mother separated when I was like 7 years old in 1965, mm-hmm. and later divorced. And my father would take me out on Sundays, almost every Sunday. He would take me out and bring me to just wonderful places. It was like he took me not only to like places in New York City, but sometimes on weekends he would take me for a weekend or so and go up to Lake George in the Adirondack Mountains, which I went back to many times when I was younger, and used to go camping and hiking in the Adirondacks. And actually, in a place called Long Lake, which is the exact middle of the Adirondack Mountains, which, if anybody knows, the Adirondacks are 6 million acres of wilderness. It's the largest wilderness east of the Mississippi in the United States. And so I was, and I just used to love to camp out and hike through these mountains. He also, when I was a boy, the 1964-65 World's Fair was in Flushing Meadow, Queens, which was less than 3 miles away from our home, and he took me there many times. And I never forget, they had these cars that would go right into the lake there. So they were the cars that went right on land into the lake, and I was like,
right.
He also inculcated me with the music of Frank Sinatra, and I told this story before on your show, but I also briefly met Frank in 1984 and thanked him for his music, and he was very nice to me and said thank you back and blah blah blah. My father also took me up in 1967 to the World's Fair Expo 67 in Montreal, and we stayed at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel up in Montreal, and my second wife, the ballerina, was also from Montreal. And my sister went to school in Montreal. I was in Montreal many times. I was up there for the Olympics in 76. But in 67, I was taken by the beauty of Montreal and the wondrous design of the Montreal Biosphere, which was a geodesic dome designed by the great R. Buckminster Fuller. The shape of the geodesic dome, and I was 9 years old, just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'd say, my, the beauty of this is just, it just struck me just to be the most beautiful architecture I've ever seen, or the most beautiful structure. And my father used to take me to beaches, like the beach in Queens that's the most famous is Rockaway Beach, but he'd also take me out to where his friends lived out in Long Beach or Jones Beach or the Jersey Shore. I mean, he even took me out all the way out to Montauk Point, which I lived, if anybody doesn't know, New York City is 5 boroughs. 2 of the boroughs, Brooklyn and Queens, are on an island called Long Island, and the other 2 counties are Nassau and Suffolk, and it's about 110 miles long, Long Island. And so we went all the way out to the Hamptons, and there was this place we used to eat in the Hamptons and have breakfast, and then he'd bring it all the way out to Montauk Point, and so he would take me just to all these places. He would take me to like I said before, in California, this place, the Highlands Inn and Tickle Pink, and he would take me to. He also took me to a restaurant called the Ideal Restaurant on East 86th Street in Yorkville, which is the old German part of the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And it's where his father took him as a young boy and man.
Now, were you an only child?
No, I have an older sister that's 4.5 years older than I am. And she, interesting, she ran away from home in 68 as a 15-year-old girl.
You're kidding, really?
No, and ran out, went out to, became a hippie in Haight-Ashbury and hung out with all the Grateful Dead and all these people, and New Osley, who made all the acid, and I could tell you stories about that, but I won't.
Yeah, San Francisco really did change from the San Francisco that I knew as a child to what it became later. When I got my first car, I got a Volkswagen, and my cousin and I decided to go to San Francisco, and it just was so different than it used to be.
I was just always taken by San Francisco. I mean,
beautiful. It's beautiful.
And the Golden Gate Bridge and Sausalito and the wine country of Northern California.
Yes.
I've been out there many times. That, as you know, I worked with Jerry Brown, the governor there, for when he was running in 92. And you know, people, and I shouldn't get down this road, but people have, you know, bad things about him, and You know, he's more fiscally conservative than Ronald Reagan was. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good things about Jerry. I didn't like his last two terms as governor, but anyway, it's. My father also he gave me these talks, and one Sunday, I guess I was like around 11 years old, and we took this long historic walk through a deserted Wall Street and to Trinity Church and Battery Park, and it was this long walk and talk that we had. And I just it stuck out in my mind when I was writing this. I never forget. It's just, and then we went on the Staten Island Ferry so many times, and he took me to the Belmore Cafeteria on Park Avenue and 28th Street before it closed. And Belmore Cafeteria is made famous by the film Taxi Driver, mm-hmm. where Robert De Niro was, and mm-hmm. and right after that, I started driving a taxi. So these sort of strange sort of coincidences there. And he also took me to there was another one. Oh, the last Horned Hardock automat in New York. The automat, if people didn't know, Horned Hardocks had these automats, and you could put like a nickel in and you could get like a piece of cake, or put in a dime and get a sandwich. And it was like this mass produced sort of food, but it was a sort of, it was like an automated, like they said, kind of a restaurant. It was sort of real different. He also took me like on weekends up to the Catskill Mountains and things. There's a place called Sugar Maples where a lot of the Jewish comedians were, you know, from the Catskills and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was one time we were out on another Sunday, and he decided to take me on a helicopter ride over Manhattan. And I don't like heights. I don't mind being like in a plane but I don't like being like on a Ferris wheel or things like that. You get me above like 30 feet and it just out in the open air, and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And it's till this day anyway. And I was very hesitant about going on this helicopter ride. And when we got in, the pilot took off the doors of the helicopter.
Oh dear.
And I was like, no way. I'm not going to, I got so scared, and my father said, just relax. Nothing's going to happen. And it was a wonderful, you know, whatever, 8-minute ride over Manhattan. I just, It's just, he also took me to all like the greatest classic Broadway plays that there were at the time. You know, Carousel, My Fair Lady, Showboat, on and on.
Would you consider your childhood as normal, or it sounds kind of an amazing experience to me. I didn't have that experience, so I'm trying to think, well, is that normal? What you experienced, normal?
It was normal for me, but I remember coming back from the first time on that California trip, and I came back to my classmates and my teacher, Miss McKernan. Everybody was jealous. It was like, it was like this. I realized that, and I wasn't trying to make, I just, you know, said, I went out in a Learjet out to California, you know, but everybody was like, oh my God. It's like, you know, there was this other talk, bringing this up, there was this other talk that my father and I had, in the Waldorf, in the Plaza Hotel in New York. And I don't know how old I was. I can't remember right now. I was like probably 8 or 9 or something. And he could see that I was in awe of the surroundings. Mm-hmm. And he had this like 30-second little conversation with me that stuck with me my whole life. It said, don't be awed by this, and don't be awed by any person. Be self-confident through this whole lifetime. Don't be cocky or arrogant, but be totally self-confident, and don't put up with anybody's garbage, and always stand up for yourself when you know you're right. And it was just this literally 30-second conversation that just left an indelible imprint on me to this very day. And people take me sometimes as being, you know, a bit cocky or whatever, and it's like, no, and it's not about being cocky. I just try to tell the truth is what it comes down to. It's mm-hmm. so it's it, and my father was there for me in many ways because he realized that, look, my father wasn't any saint. Okay, he was great in many ways. By the way, he rarely ever smiled. And that is because of what I told you, what happened to him in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
This man wouldn't smile.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was full of life and was always wanting to go places and do things. He traveled the whole world. And you know, he said the only other place beside like the California coastline that was really as almost as beautiful was the coastline of South Africa around, you know, and it was like, and he tried to, he, by the way, he also, I was a pain in the ass kid. I would ask questions about everything and anything and wanted the answer. And he would always try his best to give me the best answer for my question. And this, not only as a young boy, but this continued throughout my whole life.
So he wasn't the type of father that thought, don't speak unless you're spoken to? Or...
Oh, no. No, he embraced my inquisitiveness. And he was, like I said, he was brilliant. But, you know, the flip side to that was when I was one of the first writers out about 9/11, And I never forget. I was at a table with my whole family, and my father was there, my mom was there, and my sister and my nephew. And I started telling them just a few different facts very early on, and my father didn't want any of it, none of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Dad, you know, and I talked to him. This was at the table, and later on, I had a little talk with him. I said, Dad, this is, you know, what I'm telling you is indisputable. This is mm-hmm. the first thing I was telling him was a press release from what the Pentagon put out 1 week later, and I tore it mm-hmm. apart. That's one of the first things that I could grasp onto that they put out as a PR.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is indisputable. I did the math behind it. This is not like me hypothesizing. This is mm-hmm. cold fact. Matter of fact, they hung themselves in this thing. And mm-hmm. he didn't want to know. And it was the first time that I ever saw that in him, mm-hmm. that totally unwillingness to and I got really hurt by it because I was like, my God. And I noticed this in many, many, many other people, but I couldn't believe it in my father that he didn't want to know.
And maybe he wanted to figure that the war that he was in would be the last one, and maybe he recognized that this was going to be the beginning of what it has become. Maybe he just realized that, and wow.
Yeah, he bought into the whole. He was very conservative, also. Mm-hmm. Even though I thought he was liberal when he was younger, when I was younger, mm-hmm. And he you know, when he left the Merchant Marines, then he went to the Army, and then into the Air Force. He was in three different services during World War mm-hmm. II. He kept on going back, and he also told me when we were walking down Garmisch in December of '87. And I never forget it. It was just the most beautiful. That street was just decorated to just gorgeous. And he told me he also wrote for the Stars and Stripes. And he mm-hmm. was telling me, but it's and he also, by the way, one of his most famous things when he was in advertising was Miss Subways in New York. It was a big campaign that was sort of made him famous. And he almost made it in a few different times. By the way, it's like it was really he got. Like three different times in his life, he almost made it very big, and he got crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him later in life, I said, the people that crushed Go magazine were Jewish John Warner and the bunch. They saw the niche, and they crushed you like cockroaches. And he mm-hmm. didn't want to believe that either. He just mm-hmm. said, well, it's just business. And I said, yeah, it's just business. Okay. So certain people, I found that certain people want to just stay with certain things that they know, and I, you know, it's like telling somebody that got injured in a war that the war, you know, the war was not to serve your country, and it's just
right.
It's for the profits of a certain group of people, and the joy, I think the glee of an elite group of people to seeing Gentiles kill themselves
mm-hmm.
on and people, you can't say that, oh my God. But it's part of it. And so my father would take me to other places. Like, he also brought me to, I remember the opening night of, what was it, How the West Was Won. I went to, he brought me, he, like, because of his, he was in the Go magazine, and he got all these free to premieres and stuff like this. And he would also take me to the Washington Square outdoor art exhibits every year.
Wow.
Which was, and we'd walk along and just look at all the artwork that was there. It was wonderful. And it would take me to the Brooklyn Heights Promenade, which is overseas Manhattan, southern Manhattan. And just, he went to me with me on up to Rye Playland up in Westchester, and he rode with me, even though he didn't want to, on the Dragon Coaster, which is this unbelievably magnificent 1929 wooden roller coaster. It's still there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Our guest first hour is Mark R. Elsis, who is talking about his father. And he really taught you to be the kind of person you are, or set an example for you to state truth. And that's what you did. And even though he encouraged you to be that kind of a person, there were some truths that he was unwilling to go there. I don't want to say accept, yeah, to visit.
Yes.
Right.
We're all like that, I find, in certain things, you know. And I try not to be, but My father also helped me, like, when I was driving a taxi, he got me the job as an apprentice for the lighting for Dancing on Broadway, Bob Fosse's play. And I never forget walking in the backstage, and I was like, oh my God, all these beautiful women. And another story about during his wedding reception for his second wife of 43 years, Lois, was held at the Hotel Elisi. And I was there with a date, and I noticed this guy prancing in. He was crashing the wedding, and he walked right up to the bar and got a drink. And I said to myself, actually said to my date, I said, my God, I think I know who this is. And so I said, excuse me, and I walked up to him, and I wrote about this in this book I'm writing, Meetings and Stories. I extended a little bit, but it was only like a 3 or 4 minute conversation. And I walked up to this guy, and I started asking him. I said, hey, what are you crashing my father's wedding for? And he looked at me. He goes, I live here. And he was like, with the southern drawl that was slightly intoxicated. And I said, well, who are you? Know, what do you do? I asked. I already knew who he was, pretty sure. And I said, well, what do you do? And he goes, I'm a writer. And I said, have you written anything that I ever know of?
And, I was almost
Tennessee Williams.
Oh, my.
Yeah, perhaps the greatest American playwright of the 20th century. And so I ended up being very nice. I said, oh, my God, it's been an honor, da-da-da. I changed it right around, and he was very gracious. He went from being almost belligerent to me, and I was asking for it, to turning around and being like this most southern gentleman.
Gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just an amazing turnaround. And just so he also, you know, I was one of the greatest basketball players in New York City at the time when I was a kid, between like 8 and 13 years old. And I was recruited by, you know, the top high schools when I was 11 years old. But my father went to every one of my playoff and championship and all-star games and everything. Every time, he was always there for these. He bought me my first Schwinn Stingray bicycle. He taught me.
Wow.
He helped teach me how to drive up in White Plains High School, because Lois's parents lived up White Plains, and so he taught me, helped teach me how to drive up there. He told me when I was going with my first wife before I married her, he said, you know, you should marry this girl, and he sort of pushed me into it a little bit, and I did. And he was there when I ran marathons. I ran the 1988, 1991 New York City Marathon. He was there for both of those at the end, and just was so,
wow,
congratulations to me, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was also there when I shot my film, part of my film, Strawberry Fields, up in Strawberry Fields in Central Park, New York. He was there.
Wow. And he's still with you.
Well, he was today. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Janet.
He's still with you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Mark. Bless your heart. Thank you. All righty. Stay with us, and we'll be back with our second guest.
Healthy are your arteries. Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as ankles swell late.
Since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.